The sermon has been written and prepared by Pastor Hayden Foulkes. Any edits have come from David A. Scarborough. So let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week, as Pastor Foulkes addressed the confirmands, he exhorted them to faithfulness to the confession which they made before God and this holy congregation. And if any were taking sermon notes, which they weren't, because they were being confirmed, they might have summarized the point of Pastor Foulkes' sermon as, confess the truth both in word and in deed. That the truth of God is not only something to be believed, but also to be lived. The truth is not merely a set of principles that can be abstracted from life, but it is a way of life. It is the path you take, the way in which you walk. This fundamental connection between truth as both a confession of that which is true and a way of life that can be seen in the earliest Christian church before they were called Christians. We're called the followers of the way. Jesus is the way and the truth and life. And to be a confessor and believer in Jesus is to be engrafted into his life, to be a confessor of his truth, and to walk in his way. Now, I should make myself clear about what I mean when I say that we should be confessors of his truth. Because we live in an age where people talk about my truth, your truth, their truth, everybody's truth. But, as I lose my place, as if the truth were subjective and individually defined, that I can have a truth, that I can have a truth and you can have a truth which are not the same and yet equally valid. As if there were not some external real truth to which my individual perception either adheres more or less to. But when I speak about his truth, Jesus' truth, it is completely different. He is the truth, and thus he defines what is true. It is not his truth, but God's own truth. If it is not his truth, God's own truth, it is a lie, deception, and darkness. What we have in both today's gospel text and today's epistle text is a wonderful explication of this connection between the truth of God's objective and totally gracious salvation given to us through Jesus Christ and the way of life which flows from it. Indeed, Christ's love for us and the great salvation which he wins for us is grounded in nothing other than the divine reality of the Trinitarian Godhead himself. And in this, too, we see Christ as the example for the way. On what basis does Christ love us? Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Christ's love for you, his disciples, is grounded in the overflowing love of the Father for him. The overflowing and eternal love of the Father for the Son pours out of Christ to you, his disciples. Christ's entire earthly ministry is the walking in the way of love that stems from the divine truth that the Father loves the Son, and it is a showing forth of that divine image of love. And so when he sees the leper, or the demoniac, or the 5,000 gathered on the shore, he is moved to compassion for them and over Jerusalem, who would reject him. He is not callous or hard-hearted, but he weeps for the city that stoned and killed the prophets and would ultimately crucify him. And in all this, we see that Jesus is wearied, hard-pressed, pulled by love to give of himself again and again until the ultimate act of love in which Christ sheds his blood and gives his life for his disciples and all who would believe in his name and be saved. Indeed, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Christ crucified for sinners, whom he counts as friends by grace, is the definition of love, as John says elsewhere in his first epistle. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Love is willing the good of the other. It is the giving of the self for the other. True love is expressed ultimately in this, that you would lay down your life for your neighbor. And it is in this that the love of God is shown to us, that Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. And as we discussed last week, that means that there is from and shaped to the Christian life. It is walked according to the way of Christ, the way of love. And so John says, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. If God, who is love, abides in you by faith in Jesus Christ, and you are being formed into the image of his Son, who lays down his life, you will love your neighbor. And so Jesus gives this command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now note the order of this, that you love one another as I have loved you. Just as Christ's love is a walking in the way of the Father's love for the Son, so too our love is a walking in the way of the Christ's love for us. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. We believe and then live out the truth. The truth is an objective, external reality that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. But that knowledge and faith in that knowledge leads to a certain form of life, a certain way of being, so that we ought to love one another. Our love is predicated on the love of Christ for us. It is he who has called us and elected us. He who unconditionally comes to lay down his life and love for us, as Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. But what follows from his unconditional grace and election? That you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. The world is darkness and loveless. as true love is concerned, but in Jesus you have overcome the world. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. By the new birth of water and the Spirit, by our faith in the promise there delivered, our faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have overcome the world, and the love of God abides in us. John asked rhetorically, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And of course, the answer is no one. No one other than he who knows the love of God for us in Christ Jesus. The love of God for us in Christ Jesus, which is objective and not just historically objective, in the sense that Jesus Christ really did come in the flesh and lay down his life for you, is objective in that sense, but it is more. The same Jesus Christ who did really come and lay down his life for you objectively comes to you now. As John says, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water alone, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. He comes to you in the water. In the waters of holy baptism, objectively and outside of you, there can be no question of God's intention towards you. He has said and publicly proclaimed you as his own. He has engrafted you into the true vine and washed you and placed you into the good shepherd's flock. He is yours. And you are his through that lavish washing of grace. And not just in the water, but the blood. Christ comes to you on the altar. Every time the sacrament is offered and received, he comes to abide in you, and for you to abide in him. He comes for you to receive the forgiveness of sins when you have not borne the fruit of love as you ought, and to strengthen and nourish you to bear that fruit. And it is the Spirit given to you from on high, working through and these things to testify that Jesus Christ has laid down his life for you and gives his life to you even now. That you have overcome the world because the love of God abides in you. So Jesus exhorts us, his disciples, to continue to abide in him, to live a life in accord with the truth. And thus Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Or better yet, we could translate Jesus' words here, if you observe my instructions, you will abide in my love. For the Greek word entelos, translated here as commandments, is not the word nomos as in law, but it is broader. It includes the law, but it encompasses all that Jesus taught. What is the instruction of Jesus, which we are to observe, and in which we are to abide? John tells us, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Faith and love, that we know the love of God freely and graciously given to us in Jesus Christ, and as a result, that we love one another, that we know the truth and walk in it. And what does this life of faith and love look like in practical terms? It is to follow in the way of Jesus, to do the will of the Father who sent him. For you, that means to live in accordance with those divine vocations which God has called you to in your lives, to support the ministry of water, blood, and spirit in the church, as you do with your monetary donation, or equally importantly, with your gifts of time. As the trustees do, give up so much of their personal time for the care and maintenance of the church. Or all who sign up to spend a week teaching the kids about Jesus in VBS. These are the fruits of faith and love, the husband and wife who live together in understanding and forgiveness and care for one another, are an icon of Christ and the church's love for one another. These things are the fruit of faith and love. The mom and dad who are up at 3 in the morning catching the puke of their little ones in bowls or changing another blown-out diaper. These things are the fruits of faith and love, which Jesus has commanded to us. So abide in them. Receive God's loving service each Sunday, so that you may go out and walk in the way to love one another as Christ has loved you. After all, he is risen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand for the offertory.